Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, I hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, and happiness, and we want to thank you, as always, for paying us the honor of listening to the show and hearing what we have to say. As always, we hope that things are working out for you and that life is giving you all of the things that you deserve. You know, that's really an interesting statement, isn't it? It's kind of like a double entendre. But either way, I hope that life is actually fulfilled for you and that you're living the dream that you want to live. And if you're not, I'm hoping that some of the information that we give you on the Zurian Show is helpful and useful to you and can give you the motivation, the drive, and sometimes the knowledge or the helpful hints to live the life that you want to live, because you deserve it. We all deserve it. As you guys have heard me say many, many times, we're all here for a reason. And if we really want to take a hold of life and live life the way that we feel that it should be lived, then that means we need to take responsibility for our actions, and we need to make the adjustments that we need to make so that we can do the things that we do. So, today, we're going to talk about people that should be getting mad about getting mad. I meet people all the time that tell me or make the comment, that pisses me off, or they get on my nerves, or what the hell were they thinking, or I can't believe that they did that. Well, let me explain something to you. Every time that you get mad with the world, please understand, please know, please note that the world itself doesn't really care. The only person that cares about you being pissed off is you. The only person that's going to make a change in your life is you. The only person that's going to help you reach that plateau, reach that dream, and reach those goals that you say that you want, yet you're doing nothing to obtain, is again you. So with that said, that means that we need to take action. We need to stop letting things trip our triggers. We need to stop letting things that really don't matter take precedence over things that do. You know, I've never found happiness in my misery. You know, it's not a comforting thing. Yes, I know what my misery is. I know how to experience it. I know that, you know, if I don't, you know, that I understand that things aren't going to work out from time to time. I understand that I'm going to have problems. I understand that I'm going to have issues. I understand that the world is also an ever-evolving thing, and that unless I take responsibility for my actions, unless I start putting things in place to help me to become and be the person that I say I want to be, then it's not going to happen. Saying it is not an action. Saying it is only it's part of the process. Saying you want something to happen that's going to be good is part of the process to making it happen. However, it's just the initial part, all right? The first one is thinking it. The second one is believing it. The next thing is, while you're doing that, saying it. But the final piece, well, not the final piece, but one of the more important pieces is starting it. And then the next more important piece is continuing with what you started. You know, if you're stuck in traffic, you're stuck in traffic. I don't like being stuck in traffic, as an example. To me, being stuck in traffic is really a horrible thing. but what do I do if I'm stuck in traffic? I don't get pissed off. I don't cuss the person out that cut me off. I understand that we all have distractions. I understand that we all have different things going on in our lives that can kind of sometimes take us out of our comfort zone, that can kind of throw off our original arrangement, that can kind of, you know, really upset us. But I also understand that in order for me to be upset, I have to allow that thing into my circle. I have to let it take control of me. So, again, if ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like traffic, what should you do? You should leave earlier. You should try to find other routes. You should put music on, things that you can have in your car that can stimulate you, but yet, of course, not take your mind off of the particular traffic so that you don't have an accident. You can do other things to correct that problem so that you don't destroy not only your day, but your life. Because eventually people get tired of hearing you complain. Nobody likes to be around anybody that's miserable all the time. And if you're miserable all the time, you'll slowly find that people start doing other things. You call them up and they'll go, well, we can't go today. Or you'll call them up and they'll say, well, we've got something else going on. Why are these people avoiding you? Why are these people doing different things? No man or woman is an island unto themselves. I personally am one of those people, I don't have a problem being by myself. I don't have a problem being alone. Now, notice I said I don't have a problem. I didn't say it was my preference. Most people have a preference to be around other people. Most people want the camaraderie. Most people want the social environment. The problem is that the people that don't want that social environment are people that don't want to give and take. They just want to take. They just want things on their terms. They want things the way that they want them and don't want to give the other people the respect or the acknowledgement that they deserve so that it can be a two-way street. Again, you have to find that happy medium. And in order to find that happy medium, you have to do something very important. You have to adjust to you. All right? There's really no reason to get mad. There's no reason to be disappointed. I mean, let's be honest. When you get disappointed in somebody, were you really expecting them to do what you asked them to do in the first place? Do you really know that person? Because if you really know that person and you really know how that person operates, how they function and how they do things, and the funny thing is, and I think that most of us have a pretty good idea of what the people we deal with are going to do and aren't going to do. Well, taking that into consideration, if you really know that this person is the type of person that's probably not going to do what they're supposed to do, why in the world would you put yourself in the position where you're depending on that irresponsible, inconsistent, or consistently inconsistent person to do the thing that you want them to do? Or if you're dealing with a person that you know does not have your same mindset, so they're probably not going to take that course, they haven't even promised you that they were going to take your course. You just know from their past actions that that's not the way they function. Why would you put yourself in a position where you expect that person to do it? You know, I was listening to a program a while back and talking to one of the ladies that was one of the instructors, and she was explaining the fact about men and women. She was saying that men are like waffle squares or like waffles, and women are like syrup. And for all you ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to throw this out here. Now, mind you, I'm not making an excuse. I'm not saying use this as your ploy. But I'm talking about, think about this in a logical term and see if it applies to the significant other or the person or the man or woman that you deal with. Women have a tendency to be able to multitask. And when I say multitask, I'm not saying that men can't multitask. What I'm saying is that women can multitask about a number of different things. And when I say that they do it, I say they don't do it in necessarily a structured way. Now, again, not that there's not women that have a structured way of thinking, but it's not that they can't do it in a structured way, but you could be talking with a woman about business. And her mind will drift off for a second, and she'll think, because you said a word or a keyword, she'll think about five other things that she needs to do. She needs to take her daughter someplace. She needs to pick up her son. She didn't do that paperwork. She needs to mail off that thing. And a lot of times, even though you were talking to her about one thing, she can quickly come back to the original thing. She can quickly refocus on the thing that she was focusing on, and that keyword gave her a reminder of the other things that she needed to do. So she's back on track. However, with men, we are more individually task-oriented. So with a man, a lot of times we're in a particular waffle square. If we're at work, we're in the waffle square of work. If our wife or significant other calls us up and says, hey, could you bring some milk home? We say, yeah, honey, got to go into this thing. And then you come home without the milk. Why? Because you were in the work waffle square. Guys, you're watching football. Ladies, your guy is watching football. Or if you're a lady, whatever. But anyway, your guy is watching football. And while he's watching the game, he's all into the game. All of his attention is on the game. All of his focus is on the game. Then all of a sudden, you come in, and he was supposed to do something else, anything else. Doesn't really matter. But it had nothing to do with the waffle square of football. You told him to dump the garbage. He said, okay, you come back in the house, the garbage isn't dumped. Why? Because now he's in the mindset of football. He's in that waffle square. And when he's in that waffle square, when you throw something at him, it's almost like there's a little force field around him. It hits the force field. He acknowledges the hit, but it doesn't enter. It doesn't stay inside that space. So it slips his mind. Well, what ends up happening? The woman gets upset, all right? Or the person gets upset. Why? Because this person really wasn't listening. It's not that they weren't trying to listen. It's that they were focused in another place. And what you threw in was trying to take away that focus, and they didn't really let it in. Now, how do I use this when I say stop getting mad? Because if you look at this and you look at the consistency of it, then that means that it's not a person that's doing this as a habit or as a way of smiting you or not paying you any attention. It's just the way they function. So my question to a lot of people, and unfortunately it's mostly women, is, and some guys, is why would you put yourself in that position? If you know that this person has a propensity to do a certain thing and to do it a certain way, then it's probably in your best interest, at least if you want to have a meaningful, consistent relationship with this person, that you don't rely on them for that particular thing, that you do it in a way where you're not entering into that waffle square, or that waffle square of things needs to happen. Also, if you remember something, what's wrong with you kindly and respectfully reminding that person that they're supposed to be doing a certain thing? Again, life is rough, ladies and gentlemen, and we all have 1,000 things going on. If you don't help each other, you're hurting each other. If you don't step up to the plate and balance out what your particular partner or significant other or business associate doesn't have, what do? You only add to that. Why are most people attracted to each other? They're not attracted to each other because they're just alike. They're attracted to each other because there are positives about each other that they have and there are negatives about each other that they have. If you work together, you can create a harmony. You can create an environment where you guys can get along, can do the things that you need to do, and can reach goals that other people can only dream of. You know, I look at couples right now that are in the same age group, yet if you look at their lifestyles, they're totally different. And when I say look at their lifestyles, I'm not saying that the husband doesn't have a totally different career from the wife. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that these are couples, even with their difficulties, even with the things that have gone wrong in their lives, they've been able to balance each other out. I mean, let's be honest. What's the difference between a man and woman, between their 40s and 50s, live together, both families have 2 kids, both families, husbands and wives, have been working for however long they've been working, let's say 20 years. And in that 20 years, and they've been together, let's say, 18 or 20-something years together. Why does one couple, equal level of intelligence, equal age, basically equal level of fitness, equal level of education, you know, all of the above, why does one family have a big house, you know, all the cars are paid for, they go on constant trips and vacations, they drive a certain level of vehicle and operate and enjoy each other's company, where you have another couple that may live in an apartment, have two cars, have the same amount of kids, don't have any money saved, of course this other family has money saved, and can't take vacations. They're constantly working. What is the difference between the two couples? If you look into it, there's a series of different things. But one of the things on the financial side of it is that you've got two people that are in more of a financial and social harmony than the other two. All right? The two people that are in a more of a financial and social harmony are doing things to bolster each other's development. If one person is lacking in their knowledge of the financial side, the other one is stepping in. If one person forgets to pay a particular bill, before that bill doubles or before that bill becomes a problem, the other person sees it and goes, hey, by the way, I took care of that bill. Are there going to be occasions where it's a repeat of the same thing, where they may have double paid something? Yes, but if they double paid something, what's now happened? What's now happened is that they're kind of ahead of it. Right, yes, that's money that they don't have, but that's also now a bill that's still going to come that's already paid. So that reduces the stress. If you've got a person, let's say you've got a husband that's, or a wife that's in law enforcement, well, if you're coming home, you know, after you've done your administrative duties, if you're an administrative person, and when they come home, they're coming home to a more restful and a more peaceful environment. Unless that person is really a piece of trash, they appreciate that. And they may tell you that they appreciate that. But again, remember something, that when you're doing a service for somebody, you can't just be doing it for a thank you, okay? Because that's not real. That's not seen as a positive. You have to be doing this thing because you care. You have to be doing this thing because they matter. You have to be doing this thing not only for them, but for you. Because in the end, you really are. You're doing it for you, and you're doing it for your relationship. You're building quality. You're building quantity. You're building things into your relationship and into your environment. Again, let's be honest. Do you want to be, for all of you people that have that work, you have a job that you go to every day, the mundane 9-to-5. If you've got a person on the other side of your cubicle or in your office that's always whining, that's always complaining, that's always got a problem, that's always upset, do you want to work with them? No. Well, here's my question. Are you that person? Are you even close to being that person? Let's look at you honestly. Let's not look at you in this perfect little continuum that you've got, in this crazy little paradigm that you created in your mind that doesn't exist. Let's look at the real you. Are you the person that gets in your car and curses out traffic? Are you the person that wakes up with an attitude? Are you the person that when somebody says good morning, you say what's good about it? Are you the person that is always looking for something wrong even when everything is going right? Are you the person who's pissed off because you've got to do everything but nobody else does anything? All right? Are you the person that sabotages your own life but then wants to blame it on everybody else? I mean, let's look at this honestly. And if you are that person, know that you can change that, but you have to change it. You have to realize that you're the person. You know, I did a show not too long ago about the young man who was very concerned about his mother and the fact that she's constantly hoisting her own petard. Are you that person? Are you creating and amply creating misery for yourself and those around you? And are you willing to make a change? Are you willing to do the things necessary to move your life forward and to have a quality of life that other people only dream of? You are in control. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or 98. Today is, guess what? The opportunity for you to start anew. Matter of fact, as I've heard somebody say before, today, I and God Almighty, and it's not by my rule, it's by God Almighty, the Supreme Being's choice, give you the opportunity to decide that today, right now, you have a clean sweep. Right now, I don't care if it's 1 minute before midnight or if it's midday or if it's 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. Right now, you have the ability, you have the choice, and you have the power to change your life for the better. You can open your eyes up, close them right now, take all of the garbage that's going on in your mind and put it in a piece of, write it all down on a piece of paper and throw it away. All right? You no longer have to be the person that you've been. You can now be that new, perfect, idyllic individual that you were supposed to be in the beginning. You now have your free pass to start all over again, starting today. So, if you were looking for permission on how to become a great and wonderful person, if you were looking for permission to have a full and wonderful life, if you were looking for a reason or permission for somebody to give you the approval for you to go forward and take control of your life and make your life and everybody else's life around you happy, and I'm not saying inconvenience yourself, I'm just saying do the right and positive things so that you can live the life that you want to live today. On the Zurian Show, you have that power. You have that right. You have that control. And you can do whatever it is that you need to do that's going to make you and the people around you happy. And understand that the happier you make the people around you without you doing anything crazy or stupid, the happier that you're going to be. Because guess what? Those happy people around you, it's going to get contagious. And those people around you that aren't happy for you, those people around you that don't have a positive attitude, now you know who you need to get away from. Now you know who you need to remove from your circle. Now you know who you need to start dealing with and who you don't need to start dealing with. You're going to see who the fakers are. You're going to see who the make-believe people are. You're going to see who are the people that don't mean you any harm, that don't mean you any good, and probably only mean you harm. So, Blog Talk. Today is a great day. It's the day of your rebirth. Your rebirth into the positive, your rebirth into an attitude of gratitude, your rebirth into a world that is waiting for you and ready for you. You just have to be willing to give and receive in it. So let's go out there and give positive, give good, and take good actions and do the things that we need to do. And let's take all of that positive that's going to come from it and let's use it to grow and develop. Let's not only forgive the person next to us, but let's forgive ourselves for the things that we've done. Let's apologize to those people that we've done wrong things to. Let's create a new slate. Let's not just walk into the situation thinking that everybody knows. Let's show them through our actions. Let's show them through the things that we do, and let's do the things that we know we need to do that is going to bring us the fulfillment and the oneness that we want out of our lives. Again, today is your day. And guess what? You'll get to do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day until the day that you take your last breath. And you'll experience much more from taking these actions and continuously making it a pattern and a habit that you'll get a lot more out of life. And that's what it's all about. None of us are here to work a job. We really aren't. And if you think you are, then your job needs to be to bring happiness and joy to every person that you possibly can. That should be your joy, to learn as much as you can and to bring as much fulfillment to each and every person that you have the pleasure of having contact with. And for those that you can't help, leave them alone. It's your job. Your job is only to fix and control you. Keep that in mind. Your job is only to fix and control you. You are only responsible for you. So with that said, Blog Talk, thank you very much for listening to The Zurian Show, and I hope that everybody is having a great and wonderful day. It's your life. Take control and do what you need to do. Remember, today is now, and the only way that you're going to get there is through your action. Let's take some positive action, start doing some positive things, and let's make it a positive habit. let's pick up that new habit and roll forward. Thank you. Have a great and wonderful day.